Station number 22081, Wheel 9.
Mr. Gray, Reel 9. Right, Mr. Gray, you mentioned malaria tablets.
Yeah.
Was there a routine with these things to take them?
Yeah, we had one every day, every morning more or less. Yeah. You had to take them, really.
And did you ever forget?
No, I didn't really. Because they had a lot of trouble, people that did forget. They were, you know, I think, oh, they see the MO sort of thing, regular clock, weren't they? No, I took mine regular, every day, never missed.
Were there many cases of malaria in the battalion?
Yeah, it was quite a few, really, yeah. But I think that was because some of them had forgot, and, you know, and that was quite pretty bad, some of them, you know, really.
Were you troubled by, I mean, you'd been in Tunisia, you'd been in the Middle East for quite a while. Were you troubled by, I mean, you mentioned the mosquito nets, was that a common problem?
Oh yeah, you got a problem, you know, because if you got, some of the chaps, which was worse than others, used to get bitten. They used to have, they give you all that purple stuff to rub on your face and your wound, you know, whatever. But the mosquito net was, I mean, you could sleep though, it was magic really. Yeah.
Now, just a general point on your job as a dispatch rider. Were you ever troubled with kind of grits and
flies? No, I've got goggles on, like you told always wear goggles, you know. Sometimes they get down your shirt and that was your insects, really, you know.
But in terms of eyesight, you were never...
Oh, no, I'd always was there, got goggles on, you know. Well, you had to wear goggles, really, because you couldn't see what was out, so.
Now, apparently, while you're in the Middle East, Colonel Preston left the battalion and...
That's the way I left them in the Middle East, but, yeah.
What do people think about that?
Well, he'd been with us a long while, hadn't he? He was a great fella, right, as well. And he had his batman come from him and Hempstead, and he was with him an awful lot from Dunfermline all the way through. And when Colonel Preston moved, I don't know when he went to, he took the batman with him.
Can you remember who that was?
John Cooley. You know, I lived in him and Hempstead. Yeah, Joe Cooley. Yeah. Oh, but the lad from Hemel, I bet he knows him. Because I met him a couple of times running after the war, yeah, in Hemel.
So what happened to him? Did he tell you what had happened to him with Colonel?
No, I talked to ask him, like, you know, but I did speak to him, you know, but we never mentioned anything about the war. Like. But he was with him, and with Colonel Preston all the time, and when Colonel Preston left, he took Joe in.
Now, you've been in the Middle East quite a while. What happened then?
Well, I don't know.
According to the battalion history, you went back to Italy. Can you remember specifically?
We went back to Italy, but that's it, and we was getting ready to go up across the pole, wasn't it, Sammy? Then when they got us and put us in these Dakotas and flew us to Greece.
Ah, now that's moving us forwards. Now, according to the battalion history, you moved back, after you moved back to Italy, there was the Grigliano.
The Grigliano, yeah, Rocco Mancino and that sort of thing, yeah.
What do you remember about that?
The weather was bad up there, wasn't it, when we got there. But I can't remember how far we went up there. I think it was around Cassino area when we come out of Italy, I'm sure. Whether that was the second bit or not, I don't know. I can't remember, really. It must have been Giumano, Rocco Manfino, something up there.
I mean, had morale started to suffer because obviously you were, as you've described, you were faced with one hill.
It was all the way up, right up the way up.
What kind of end did you see to the Italian campaign? Because obviously the progress was very slow.
Well, I was thinking, we were getting a bit fed up because we kept looking down. You could look down at the road, I think it was the Route 6, I think they called it, or Route 9, went up with Florence and that way, you know. And we can see this, but we thought, oh, we'll get up here and we'll go straight up to the pole, like, but we was always getting stuck on, we were up in the mountains, you know, and we got stuck up there, and even us, we started the Indians, there was donkeys bringing their food up to us and all this business, you know. Yeah, up there. But we was always, the Dalhousie was always on the mountains, all the way up.
What was the, what did you think of the quality of the German troops you were facing at this point?
They were dedicated sort of people, you know, really arrogant, you know, Germans as well, you know. But I suppose they were good soldiers, really. But very, it gives you an arrogant impression, you know.
So when they were taken prisoners, they would still have that?
Oh, yeah, you can see the arrogance about them. Yeah.
What about, I mean, apparently the battalion history talks about a kind of German scorched earth policy, that they would destroy everything as they retreated.
Well, they blew everything up more or less, didn't they? You know, really, yeah. Oh, well, they blew the bridges up, didn't they, and all sorts of all. Oh, they were real way. But there were, you call it quality soldiers then. They were getting a real, you know, like S type of soldier up there, sort of thing, you know, really.
So even as we moved into 1944, look at that quality of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right, we come in contact with some Russians and all, not early, a bit, because they were, well, the women were in the Russian army and all, weren't they? They were a real rough type of person, really. But
this is at the end of the war.
Yeah, before, you know, just to come over the end of the war, you know. But we must have went from casino way before that fell. We must have come out there for a rest, and then that's when we went to Greece. Mm-hmm. Something like that, you know.
Now, apparently, Germano was one of the big companies.
Right?
What do you remember about that specifically? About that?
That was we had a rough spell there. Actually, there was a heavy fighting around there with Germano.
And how did that affect you in your job?
Well, obviously we were getting pretty used to this sort of thing then, you know, because we've been, you know, all the way up, like, and. But the bad spot up there, Germano, I think it was Rocamanfino, you know, around that area, it was rough.
In what way was it rough? Was it?
Well, we were always seemed to be in trouble, and these mortars and shelling and all this, but, you know. It was a funny old job up there. And I think we were getting tired as well. Most of the lads.
Now, in these silly conditions, and when you're under shell fire and so on,
we dug a hole.
Was there anything else you could do?
Not really, you know. When you were getting stunk with these mortars, and they were multi mortars, you know, and basically got your head down, like.
Was there any procedure of maybe trying bringing down kind of counter battery fire?
Well, we'd got a mortar platoon. They was always kind of like, you know, battalion wise, you know. Now of course the 25-pounders were a bit further back, and they were burning them all the time. You know, we'd got a lot of 25-pounders always behind us.
Can you remember any incidents where you'd be taking messages to the 25-pounders, or would that always be by radio or by telephone?
No, if it was by radio, or else if it was perhaps static for a couple of days sort of thing, there'd be phone lines laid out as well, like, you know. And like the linemen and the six used to go out and check the lines pretty often. Like, we lost 2 or 3 of them, the lads, laying, you know, broken lines, laying them, reunion, you know.
And they'd be kind of, it was the shell fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what happened with the officers on the tow with the line, like, you know. It was getting broken up with shell fire and what have you. I'd say the 18 sets were all right to a certain extent, but, you know, you couldn't really rely on them, actually. So I suppose a lot to do was have been in the hills and that sort of thing, like, affected them as well, really.
Is this where you put the the radio man on the back of the bike? Did this happen at this
time? If you can use the bike, you know, but I mean, lots of places in them mountains, you know, it was a bit of a problem. But I said I was nearly always, well, the radio each company, all the time with two of the signals, yeah. Yeah, and I said that went wrong. If you had the old company runner, he was always available, you know.
Are there any other specific memories of the Germano period?
Not really, right. But I know we had a rough time here, and the weather was bad as well.
Were people affected by, you know, so-called shell shock, bomb happy? Did that, was there any?
There was quite a few, you know. He got had that problem. That was like Ernest Scriven did he? He was one.
Were you able to detect that in a in people you were with? Was there any signs
well,
of it?
Well, they were really frightened of everything. They were like living on edge. Their nerves, like more or less, give way. You know, really, yeah. I nearly remember I was with Scriven when this happened actually, and it was they were firing at armour piercing bullets for the tanks, and when they went in the soft mud they didn't go off, and you know you can get plonk plonk, and I was with Scriven, there was two or three of us actually, and we'd got our heads down, we hadn't got a trench but we'd got our heads down in the mud like, and you can hear them going plop, you know, and one going off because they weren't hitting nothing solid, will it? And I think that's what Ernie was bad then, and I really think Ernie went back after then, you know, he was really on edge, you know, but he wasn't the only one, there was quite a lot of them, you know, started getting under the nerves sort of thing, and you know.
Did you ever feel that yourself, any?
Well, you thought this is a lot here, when that time when I was with Ernie's group, like, you know, we was lying and they were quite a lot come over, but we thought, oh, they're not going off. And we realised then it was armour piercing or after the tanks later, you know. That was a bit hilarious there.
What was, you know, your feelings when, you know, somebody that you knew was, you know, was afflicted with shell shock? How did you, what did you feel about that?
Well, there was not a lot we could do, but you try to cheer them up and get them calmed down sort of thing, you know, but there was still a bit of a problem.
Could you bring a person back from that, you know, could you kind of talk them out of it, or was it something that did?
Well, you tried to, but and they were a lot better when they come back for a break, like, you know, they were a bit better, although they still, they were frightened to go up again, like, you know what I mean? But it was some of them pretty bad, really. Well, I said there were several, yeah, it must have been quite a lot of them, same way.
And would that affect people that had been in combat before, or could it, would it affect people that hadn't?
Well, I never used to worry about it, but I did start worrying about it. I think that was when we was at a casino sort of thing, you know, and we used to, when you look, we used to come back to the 25 pounds and have a bit of a brace sort of thing, you know, and you used to think, oh, blimey, we'll be the next ones, you know, and that was with you all the time. I never dreamt I'd come back to England, put it that way, you never, you know, no. Because every time you come back, you look like, well, he's missing, you know, what's happened to him? Because we didn't know what, you know, whether he'd been took prisoner or what had happened, you know, something, he'd been killed or wounded. Or.
So at this stage of the war, you didn't actually see a way out of it?
Not really, no.
Was that a common feeling amongst
them? It was quite a lot, though, yeah. Mm.
Now, you'd been there from 1940. What was the general feeling amongst, you know, veterans from that, you know, the men that were still with the battalion from that area, and people like Frank Reynolds? And
we're all about the same, like, we just, you know, hoped that we shouldn't get finished and let us get back, like, you know. Well, I say the married chaps, obviously, they wanted to get home, they worried about their wives and kids and all sort of thing, you know, but, so, it started getting you down, really, in the end.
What was the authorities, reaction to, you know, a case of shell shock? Do you think they dealt with it in a kind of understanding way?
Well, they must have, because I think Ernie, he went back hospital-wise for the back, and I don't really know what happened after then.
So they were quite understanding?
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah, well, no. But they were just frightened to death. And, you know, I suppose, really, that if you get a lot of people like that, they've got to go back out of the way, otherwise it upsets the other chaps, doesn't it, really, you know.
When you were back with the 25 pounders, what did you think about their, you know, their job and their role? And were you envious of?
Well, envious, because they were a good gun, and there was always a lot of them behind us. And I say we used to, if they fetched us out for about 24 hour break or so, or a 40 hour break, we was always near enough the 25 pounders, like, you know, banging away all night long. But, yeah.
Now, apparently, around about this time, after Germano, some men were able to go on leave in Rome. Do you have any memories of that?
No, I didn't go to Rome, mate. I was in Rome, but never had a leave in Rome. No.
What do you remember about being in Rome? Oh.
Not a great lot, really. No. It was Naples, then Rome, wasn't it? That's it. No, I can't say. We thought about it there, really. It was getting all the same to us then, you know.
So one hill was just turning into another?
Just another one, and before we were on the plains. That's what you said, round the battalion. On another one, and we're on the plains. That we went through the battalion all the time, you know. All the
on the plains to where?
Well, you're on the plains. Well,
oh, the plains. Yeah,
on the flat country, flat, like, you know. Away, like, so the tanks can get going, and, you know.
Now, during this period in Italy, through as we move into 1944, there was the Allied invasion of France, and you mentioned earlier that there's a bit of a rumour mill that maybe you would be part of that, but obviously you weren't. You were back in Italy. Were you able to follow the campaign?
The chap was there talking that he was a regular in an NF. He acquired a bigger set then, and he used to get it off and let us know, like, you know.
Who was that?
Jackie Howe. He was a Lance Cotter, but he looked after the signal stores, you know. But he was a regular before he joined the Durhams. He was an NF.
And when did he join you, do you think? When did he join you?
He must have joined as a boy.
When did he join the DLI?
Oh, July. In Scotland.
So he was there?
Because when he was at Dunfermline, he married a girl in Dunfermline. Yeah.
So he had a bigger set and he was able to...
How he acquired up, this is, you know, was a lot of part of Italy, like, wasn't it? And he got a bigger set and he can get the news and more, and he used to give us all the information what was happening when they landed in France, you know. Yeah.
What do you think about, you know, your own campaign now that the, you know, this major invasion of northern France?
Well, they used to sing that song, "We're the D-Day Dodgers," didn't they? You know, because he was in Italy, missing the France job.
Were you aware of this? At the time, that song was kind of common, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. When the lads used to always sing, "We are the D-Day Dodgers." Yeah.
What did you think of that? Of the?
Well, see, a lot of people, we'd had a fair old rough time, like, but according to people, see, well, I suppose we was on holiday, I suppose, in the Middle East.
So do you feel that your campaign had been forgotten about, possibly, by
some of it? Yeah.
Now, towards the end of 1944, according to the battalion history, you were sent to Greece. What do you remember about the run up to that and how that actually happened?
I don't know. We was going into the line again, really. Well, we thought we was, and then they put us in, got us all together, and we put us in these Dakotas, and there again we thought, cool, we're going home, you know, first thing, you know. And of course, that was an experience. I've never been in an aeroplane before, and I'd been down the coal mines. But when these Dakotas, because they were just all lying about in the plane, you know, they used to go across the Balkans and they would drop about 20 feet. And you go a bit further, and then they'll go up. And that was a funny experience. But funny enough, the blokes that were sick on the ship were sick on the aeroplane. Isn't it funny? Yeah. But that was just like going down the pit shaft, you know, really.
So you got on these planes, Did you know where you were going? You didn't know where you were going?
No, we did before we got there, we were told, sort of thing, somebody told us, like, we got to Greece. We didn't know what for, mind you. But it was a funny thing, like, when we got to Greece, that was worse than being fighting in the line, because in Italy, you knew Jerry was over there, and you was here. But when we got to Greece, they were all round you at the back, and you didn't know who was who. That's just like what happens in Ireland, isn't it, really? It's a similar thing, isn't it? And that was a funny experience in Greece, actually. We dropped at Farallon, I remember, and it was all haywire. There was bundles of drachma kicking about the street because money wasn't no good, was it? And I think we was at Farallon, and we had a building there, and lived in there, right? It was Farallon, yeah. Around the Paris area. And we was there quite a while, but it was a funny experience because when you went out, there were people shooting everywhere, like, you know, but you didn't know who was who. He laughed, you know, but you did a job, you know.
Did anybody brief you on what the situation politically was in Greece and what you were there to do?
Not when we landed, actually, we went to Farallon and BHU had a building there, like, and they explained to us there what was happening. You know, it's more or less civil war, wasn't it, really? But that was it seemed ever so queer to me because you didn't know who was who, like, you know. I mean, some were dressed up in a military uniform and others weren't, you know, but they'd all got guns and what have you. So.
What was your understanding of the situation then when you?
Well, all we realised they were our enemies, I think, and we didn't know much else about it, sort of thing, you know, really.
So, you got to Farallon, you know, you've unloaded from the planes. I mean, presumably the bikes and the heavy equipment, that didn't go on the aircraft, or did it?
No, we had a bike in Greece. I don't know how I got there, but we had a bike in Greece. Because I used to run up, because the companies were right up the coast there, up to the Corinth Canal, you know, up there, like. Because the roads were all potholes, you know, and the companies were spread about, and I'd done a lot of running about in Greece with a bike. Yeah. We still done the same thing as what we'd done in the line, but I say you didn't know where was who.
Did you come under fire when you were?
Oh, there was always people fired about, you know, like bullets sort of thing, you know, they had some mortars now and again, like, you know, but it was all like gunfire, really, you know, most of it, anyway. Yeah, that was quite an experience, actually, because you didn't know who was who, really.
How were you greeted by the local population, generally? Was there?
Well, after we'd been there, it was all right, really. You know, they got better. But it didn't take long to get it under control. I think it was, perhaps 2 months, something like that. Yeah, because we went right up to the top end. Oh, by the way. But I don't know anything about there.
Can you remember any specific incidents during this period when you were running about?
No, not really. That was the only thing that used to worry you. So you didn't know who was who. Sort of thing, you know. But after it finished, first place I ever tasted champagne in my life.
Could you describe that? How that?
Yeah, we went to, I think when it was all calmed down, we was in Athens and got these cafeteria things, you know, and we went in there and we had BMA money then, and we had drunk champagne and pound a bottle. That's what I thought. If I was ever a rich man, I won't drink nothing else. Honestly. But we got out, that was all right when it finished, you know. But after it finished, we didn't stop it all that long, and then they had fresh troops come in, you know, and we was off back to there, this sort of thing, you know.
Now, apparently Anthony Eden visited.
Yeah, he came in there.
What do you remember about that?
They went, well, they're a bit of a, I think everybody went mad in the end when, you know, yeah.
So can you actually remember him?
He was a smart fellow, wasn't he? And I say we'd already, he was in Tunis, we'd already seen him in Tunis, hadn't we? He was in Durant. Oh, for about after the fence, we were a lot of sports there. There was football and everything with the, you know, the battalion. It was quite a bit of relief, like, you know.
Now, apparently there was quite a number of men taken prisoner one night, according to the battalion history. There was a big incident when they...
Yeah, I think it was one or two. That was company chaps, like, wasn't it? I don't know which company it was, mind you.
So that didn't affect you and the signals?
No, not really. No. Well, I think we had about a month after it finished, you know, mucking about there, like, relaxing a bit.
What was your morale like in Greece?
Well, after it finished, all right, but I mean, I think when we first got there, I mean, everybody was the same as me. You didn't know who was who, like, yeah.
As your time there, as you got to the end of your time there, were you any of the wiser as to why you were there and who was who and who were the...
Well, you try to understand, like, it's just, you know, Elas and, well, renegades, so I think, really, want to, from the Balkans, want to really...
Did you ever encounter any Elas members up close? Were there any prisoners?
Or? Oh, yeah, there was quite a lot rounded up, wasn't there? Yeah, we see a lot of them, like, you know, but they didn't look any different men in reality. I see someone got a bit of uniform on and others hadn't, like, you know. They were just like a lot of bandits, really.
Mm. I mean, other veterans have talked about Elas using women and children as shields and so on.
Yeah, well,
do you have any memories of that?
That sort of thing, you know. That went on, really.
So, you moved back to Italy. What do you remember about that?
We never actually got in the fighting again, did we? We moved back and then got kitted out again with something.
What was this latest kitted out? What was anything new in the equipment that you were given at this stage?
I think when we was in Greece, it was a bit hot. I think we had KD in Greece still from... It was hot while I was in Greece. Warmish anyway. And when we got back to Italy, we must have back to the old gear again because it was cold and wet when we got to Greece, you know. Back to Italy, rather. And then we regrouped and ready to go in again, and then they must have finished, you know. They went over the port, didn't they?
What was your thoughts and the other men with you about going back to Italy? You'd had this interlude in Greece.
Well, there again, see, some of them rumours went, oh, we're going home now, like, you know, the old hands thought they were going home again, like, you know, but of course then we finished up back in Italy and have another go. But I don't think we actually got into battle after that, because we got ready to go in when they crossed the pool, and we were just on the act of moving up, and then we went down to Austria, didn't we?
So, what do you remember about VE Day, the day that actually the war...
I can't remember much about it at all,
Can't remember any kind of celebrations? Or?
No, I don't think we had much to celebrate, actually, then. We was... when we went to... when we started going into Austria, we was meeting a lot of these Tito's men. Like, they were all different cultures, weren't they, really? But he was the only one that couldn't control them. Our job then was to disarm them, because they were just like a lot of bandits now, and they were running about in horses and all that. Some of the companies, their job was to disarm them and more or less take the horses now off them, sort of thing, you know. Like, because I don't suppose we didn't know who they were who, but some of them were all sorts, you know. But they were just like a lot of bandits. And our chaps had the job to disarm them and, you know, sort them out. Like, that was the idea, wasn't it?